Welcome to the Sherry Sylvester Show. Today we are at the TPPF Texas Policy Summit, and I am honored to be joined by Chairman Lois Kolkhorst, Chair of the Senate Health and Human Resources Committee. Chairman Kolkhorst represents Senate District 18. She was first elected in 2014. She's been involved in healthcare her entire career in the legislature, guided Texas through COVID-19, is an expert on women's health, infant mortality, child protective services. You know it. She is one of the most productive leaders in our state and one of the most inspirational women leaders. She's a graduate of TCU, where she was an NCAA golfing champion. But I got to know, and we're going to talk over the next several months about many of the initiatives that Senator Kolkhorst has put forward. But today, I want to talk to her to look back on an initiative she sponsored in 2017 when she put forth the Women's Privacy Act to restrict bathrooms in Texas so that men had their own restrooms and women had their own restrooms. It was a radical idea. There was a lot of blowback. Welcome, Senator Kolkhorst.
Thank you for having me, Sherry. It's great to be with you. And I loved working with you, of course, during that time. You were working for the Lieutenant Governor, Dan Patrick. And we had many conversations over that session.
It was very interesting. Looking back at where we are now, how does it look to you? Well, first, what happened when Senator Patrick asked you to work on this bill?
Well, it was Governor Patrick then, and I remember it was in the summer, and we were having a discussion, and he asked me about the feeling of what was going on in Houston at the time, you know, that Houston was going through an issue where pastors had risen up against a city policy, and there was going to be a vote on whether men could go in women's bathrooms. And it really elevated the issue. But what also elevated the issue was that President Obama, Barack Obama at the time, had issued a letter in May that basically said to all of the school districts, a child can decide their gender at any given time on any given day, which means you have to give them access not just to the restrooms, but also to sports, to on overnight trips, on anything, that a child could decide their gender on a day-to-day basis. And that was, you know, I think it was May 13th of that year in 2016. And then the, you know, Lieutenant Governor asked me, would you be interested in clarifying this for Texans and for girls? And, you know, I was a student athlete through college. I got to be a student athlete in college, thank goodness, because of Title IX. You know, which was something that the Democrats had celebrated way back in the 1970s. And I saw this movement as an erosion of Title IX and women's rights.
Uh-huh.
Really. It was a step back is where we were.
And now we've made a lot of progress in Texas, but students are still being asked in many states to define their gender. It's part of the platform of Black Lives Matter that you are born with no gender. It's arbitrarily assigned to you.
I sometimes the left likes to, you know, cry science, follow the science. Science is very clear on this.
Right. It is absolutely
clear. And I think, you know, you can go to the Bible as well.
Uh-huh.
And God created male and female. So there shouldn't be any confusion about that.
I think what we saw was so much in the media that the attacks that came on you and on the Lieutenant Governor, that somehow we were not accepting, that there was a something in our position that we weren't accepting that all these young people were suddenly changing their gender.
There was a lot of confusion. I will say that we were the tip of the spear. We were a little ahead of our time, actually, in 2017 with Senate Bill 6. I remember people saying to me, this is a solution looking for a problem. This will never happen. And many of them did not understand that Obama, in his last months of being president, had issued that to our school districts, and the school districts were threatened with funds being withheld if they did not allow a child, again, identify whenever they want to go into the girls' bathroom to on overnight trips, band trips, you name it, sports, whatever. Access to those dressing rooms.
Uh-huh.
And when I, you know, drilled back into it, most people didn't know that that letter had been given to the school districts. And a lot of the school districts were like, oh, no, that will never happen. We won't allow that. And what I would tell them during Senate Bill 6, when they would say, let us handle that problem. We know how to do this locally. I now have school board members that come to me and go, oh, my gosh, I wish your bill would have passed how it was back then, because we're being our school district is being destroyed over this issue because there's no guidelines on it. And so we were the tip of the spear back then. Of course, in this first special session, when it failed, and Governor Abbott came back and issued it on a special session, I added sports to that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and I told Governor Patrick that it is not just dressing rooms. And whether it's in, the YMCA or dressing rooms in our school districts or public places, but also this is going to enter into sports, and men are going to begin to erode women's sports and everything that the advances we saw under Title IX. And people didn't believe that. But, corporations got involved. Sherry, do you remember that?
Right.
And they were, blasting the lieutenant governor and I. It was funny that today in the lieutenant governor's speech, he brought up my name and brought up this issue and said, how we were very criticized during that time. But I coined a phrase that I choose daughters over dollars. And that drove the left absolutely crazy when I coined that. We should choose our daughters over dollars, because of all the canceling and everybody was up in arms. But there were some in the LGBT community that came to me and said, this is the right thing. I mean, this is going too far. So it was interesting. It was a very split issue, but when you polled it, the people, when they understood the issue, they were like, oh, yeah, I don't want a man in a girl's dressing room. I don't want a boy in my girl's dressing room.
And I think maybe because you are an athlete or because you just had common sense, you could really see where this was going to go. Because back then, there was no Riley Gaines. I believe, if you remember the Texas Press during that session, they probably interviewed every trans kid in Texas. We had these very sympathetic profiles of these kids, and they were sympathetic because clearly these kids were in some tough spaces, and their parents were in some tough spaces. I have a lot to say about that. But we didn't have Riley Gaines. We didn't have Leah Thomas. They never talked to the other girls in the school who suddenly had a boy they'd been going to school with for years who was now in their bathroom.
Right.
How did they feel about that? They never talked about that change.
No, it was one-sided reporting, for
absolutely.
Sure.
Absolutely.
And I know, Sherry, you're so good at media and media relations. And you used to give me pep talks. I was a journalism major back in the day from TCU. And I've never seen how one-sided the reporting was on that issue. I remember an op-ed piece in the Houston Chronicle that was just ridiculous. It was so one-sided. In fact, my opening remarks on Senate Bill 6 on the day that we debated that talked about that op-ed piece. And, women's rights are human rights is a human rights issue as well. And we worked really hard to, rephrase and reverse some of the misreporting out there, because it truly was. Ask what woman wants a man in her dressing room when they're undressing to get ready to go perform in a sport. I don't think that any woman would. And then you talk about, Riley Gaines, and there's tons of high school athletes out there in some of these states that haven't passed the bills that we have to protect women's sports. The record book is literally being rewritten. It is being rewritten by people that are boys competing in girls' sports. And so, again, I saw this as a great erosion of Title IX and the advances that we had made, both in the high school and amateur sports as well as college sports.
And when you saw that the one way to get through this message, because there was so much misinformation coming from the media, was to look at it through the lens of sports.
I did.
And it has been sports that has broken it down, I think, in a lot of ways.
I saw what was coming, I think, Sherry.
Uh-huh.
It was the evolution that was going to lead to this, the claim of, I'm now a girl and I'm going to compete in women's sports. I saw that coming. I did. Mm-hmm. And again, you know, I told a story back then when I was carrying Senate Bill 6 of when Title IX passed. And I remember I had to give an interview as a small little girl about, I was a pretty good athlete. I was a good athlete. I was blessed by God in that regard. And a radio station called me and said, now you can compete in Little League, because there really were no softball leagues. And I remember my mother saying to my dad, she's not going to compete with the boys. You're going to form a softball league for our girl to play in. But, you know, Title IX made so many advances for us. And what I saw in this movement was, again, the erosion of women's rights.
Right.
And what we had done, which is really interesting for a conservative Republican to be leading with that and to watch the other side attack that. When, if you look back at Title IX, it was Democrats that passed Title IX.
It's so much not an understanding of the history and what it took to get there. I heard speculation as we start March Madness today that they believe that the women's NCAA tournament will actually have more viewership than the men's.
Isn't that terrific?
It is absolutely great.
And of course, you know, we have a record-setting Iowa Hawkeye that's leading the way on that and has set the NCAA record for the most points ever scored by any basketball player. So women are breaking a lot of glass ceilings.
Exactly.
And it's so exciting to see.
It's really made a difference. And one of the things to me that you can see the opportunism, and also something that we've got to look at a lot more closely, is that we do have men trying to get into women's sports, and sometimes successfully. But if you look at the transgender data, it's almost always women and girls that are moving. And we know that it's tough being a girl.
Right.
It's tough being a girl. And I worry that when you go in with those issues to your school counselor, your doctor, your parents, and you say, it's tough being a girl, that the answer is, well, maybe you're not a girl. Maybe you're a boy.
I celebrate being a woman.
Oh,
I really
too.
Do. And we've had so many pioneer women that have broken glass ceilings and continue to break glass ceilings. And so to anyone that says it's tough being a girl, anything, I always say, if it were easy, would it really be something that you treasured?
Mm-hmm.
And, yeah, you know, sometimes it is hard being a woman. But we've made too many advances for that to be the battle cry.
Well, now, one of the things that is also surprising to me about Democrats is that they always look at Europe. You know, we should be more like Europe. But Europe, England most recently, they have shut down all their sex transition surgeries. They've shut down the puberty blockers, all those things that we do in Texas and are criticized and end up in court.
Oh, yeah. No, the science again, I mean, we don't allow, I speak from as the chair of Health and Human Services, is that, you know, we shut down youth going into tanning beds because it could lead to skin cancer. We don't allow children to be tattooed. We don't allow a child to, you know, smoke until a certain age or to drink until a certain age. We have all these age barriers. And that's something that we carried, of course, with a bill this year. But we were allowing children to dictate sterilization before they were adult age. I mean, think about that. We limit that you can get a tattoo, but, oh, yes, you can sterilize yourself. That didn't make sense to me. And, again, I want to be sensitive to someone that if they say, you know, maybe, you know, I need to go through this phase. just don't do the blockers and don't do the mutilation. I mean, wait until you've become an adult to make that decision, I think is super important.
Exactly. There's a real tolerance there, but also a recognition. I always tell this joke about my grandson, who's a soccer star. I haven't talked to him about it. And the coach at Notre Dame approached him. And I said, well, gee, that's great. And he said to me, why would I want to go to Notre Dame? And it's 18 years, 17 years old. And I thought, and we would let this kid make a decision?
Right. I mean, like, why doesn't he want to go play sports in Notre Dame? That's
right,
a cool
exactly.
thing.
I mean, that's the level. Well, look, and I was questioning, well, they didn't like green and gold, you know? So the idea that you would make this life-changing medical decision for which we know nothing. We don't know the
outcome. No, the science is very new on all of this. And I think that European countries have been very smart to tap this down. And again, Texas has led on this issue like we did at this last session in, you know, saying we're not going to let that trend that at least the gender modification through drugs or surgeries until the person becomes an adult.
In addition to athletes, what are you seeing culturally? I mean, we had the Dylan Mulvaney high profile.
Yeah, that was interesting to watch Bud Light basically get canceled because they used the Mulvaney spokesperson and what that led to. So I think that the canceling culture is working both ways now. So it gives corporations a moment to hit the pause button, and it seems like they were advancing so rapidly down a path like we saw with Senate Bill 6. You remember the number of corporations that and the threats of
all the big ones, all the
Pac-12 that's no more wasn't going to come to Texas to play sports. Where are you now, Pac-12? Oops. but all of this, you know, like, oh, we're not going to let you host a Super Bowl. And I will say that Governor Patrick and other leaders in the Senate and the House, you know, stood toe-to-toe with us and we stood our ground. But corporations would meet with the lieutenant governor and say, you're going to wreck our economy. And I'm like, so again, I choose daughters over dollars.
Right.
And so I do think that the coin has flipped. And there's two sides to that coin now on people that believe in privacy, that maybe – you know, go live your life, but don't invade my privacy. Don't invade my rights. Let's not erase all the record books. We, you know, what we've seen, I've seen some powerlifting evidence on the transgenders that have competed in powerlifting and women's sports, and it's changing everything, and that's not right.
No.
And biologically, we are made different. We are biologically different. And you can hear scientists talk about wingspans and bone structures, lung capacity when it comes to track and different sports like that. So I think that Senate Bill 6 and the Privacy Act back in 2017, North Carolina was going through a very similar bill. There were a couple other states, but Texas being the size that it was brought it to the forefront. And I will say that God has no mistakes. There were times when I would say to God, why am I here? This is more than I really wanted to take on. And this was something of a faith journey, I think, for both the lieutenant governor and myself in different ways. At every turn, I felt affirmed by just different things that happened, literally different things that happened. I was at a rally. I was coming back to the Capitol. I was going up the east steps and a group of people came out and they go, are you Lois Kolkhorst? And I go, oh, I am. And I thought they were just going to berate me. And they go, we've been looking for you. Can we pray over you? It was a really spiritual goal, a spiritual journey for me. And it strengthened me as a lawmaker. The tolerant left is not so tolerant.
No.
You know, you have to deal with death threats and different things that most people didn't know we were going through. You know, it's not always fun to have detail follow you because you have a death threat against you because you believe that women's rights are human rights as well, that you're defending women in their most intimate moments. whether that's in a bathroom, a dressing room, an overnight stay on a UIL trip, etc., sports, so forth. And so I'm proud of the stand that we took. And as it developed over the time, that bill failed, but it didn't. Because sometimes in your failures, you succeed. You know, and truly, you know, we came back in and with HB 25, which protect UIL. Mm-hmm. And then we came back this last session with Senate Bill 15, which protects college athletes. So very pleased with what we did. And think about that progression from 2017 all the way to 2023. And that's a long time, you know, 6 years, you know, multiple special sessions and trying to get this over the goal line, no pun intended, but these were important things. And I think that history will prove that it was the right thing. We have people like J.K. Rowling, Martina Navratilova, that have come out and said, this is wrong. You know, strong women that are not usually, you know, conservative Republicans that have said, I'm concerned about the erosion of women's sports and women's rights if this trend continues.
And leaders like those and like you could see that. You know, I had a piece of history that I didn't know when we were fighting the bathroom fight. And apparently when Phyllis Schlafly was in her heyday, she warned that they would take away our bathrooms. And when you think about it, and I had not, women could not go out until public restrooms were established.
I did not know that.
Well, think about it. Of course, you couldn't in
right.
the Old West.
Right.
You couldn't go for a shopping spree or anything.
Right.
Because until public restrooms were established. So that in itself was an act of freedom for women.
For sure.
And it was really an assault on one of our most basic, the right to privacy. And people just, it was so hard in 2017 to get that message across that we were fighting for freedom. This was, you called it the women's rights issue of our time.
I did coin that. This is the women's rights issue of our generation. And I still believe that. Again, the advances, I mean, think about it. It wasn't that long ago, 1920, that women finally gained the right to vote.
Right.
We celebrated the 100th anniversary of that in 2020. I mean, when I was carrying this bill, it hadn't even been 100 years that women had voted. So the advances that we had made were large. And mm-hmm. what I saw, again, you know, the invasion of our privacy in public spaces. And if you look back at Senate Bill 6, it was really only about public spaces. It said private venues, restaurants, private businesses, you do what you want.
Right.
But in public venues, you know, we're going to protect the privacy of women in their dressing rooms, in their most intimate settings, lest they be abused. And we're also going to protect women's sports. And you know, businesses, you do what you want to do. You know, of course, Budweiser made a decision and they paid the price for that. And I think that they're, you know, coming back in a different way now.
Uh-huh.
So, you know, everything evolves. I was so interested. I was telling someone at this conference that things just really sped up during a certain time. You know, the wokeness and everything sped up and the movement sped up. But Phyllis saw it coming way back when. What my vision was is I did see the erosion of Title IX, that, you know, someone could gain a scholarship from a female athlete. And now you look at NIL, actually. So it's not just getting your college paid for, but it's also mm-hmm. revenue.
Yeah.
And, a young man that is, you know, 6'2", or what we saw with Riley Gaines and his competition entering into the swim world and. You know, again, beat her, tied with her. They gave mm-hmm. it to him. And what that has done, you know, and rewriting those record books and what we're seeing Connecticut and some of their high school track. I follow that pretty closely. So
sure.
This has been a big issue. It was not easy. And you know, it's not comfortable to have a shift. But, you know, you look back at the women's suffrage movement and, you know, they had to starve themselves to death. They had to do all kind of things to try to get the attention to say, you know, women's rights are important and we should have the right to vote. Again, this is the women's rights issue of our generation, is to protect women's sports in our most intimate private spaces.
Yes, we fought for these. And we just got a couple of minutes left. Going forward, what are you watching for?
Yeah. I think the national movement, I'd like to see the NCAA be a little stronger. As you remember, Governor Patrick and I were on the phone with the NCAA. I'd like to see professional sports, you know, make a pretty good stand on this. Again, protect women's sports. Don't let the record books be rewritten because you can't overcome that. You know, even if they finally say one day, oh, you're right, you know, and we shouldn't allow someone to transition to be a woman and then compete in these sports. Is there room for somebody that says, you know, transgender sports should have their own competition? Fine. You know, this is America. Great. You know, create it. There may be, you know, if there's a market for it, the product will present itself. But I think that the next step, we've done it in Texas, lead the nation in making these strides to protect women's sports. I choose my daughter, you know, daughters over dollars. And I think that the public opinion is shifting in the right way.
The women of Texas are so fortunate to have you as a leader, an athlete, a legislator, watching out for this very important issue. Lois, thank you so much for joining
Sherry,
us today.
Sherry, I'll end it with this. I will tell you that when I was elected to the Texas Senate, I was only the 17th woman since 1845 to be elected to the Texas Senate. I would not have ever been elected had I not competed as an athlete and learned lessons of life on those playing fields when I didn't think I could take another step, or when I was so nervous or scared and overcoming those demons. It's really helped me be a successful lawmaker, a successful mother, to pass those ideals and that competition on to my children, both my son and my daughter. And so I'm so grateful to have been on that stage, to brought it to light, and to work with strong females like you that broke a lot of glass ceilings for women like me. And hopefully women my age are doing that for those young girls right now in grade school.
And so glad you're protecting that so we can continue to move forward.
Amen.
Thank you so much for joining us on the Sherry Sylvester Show. You can get the Sherry Sylvester Show at Apple and Spotify or wherever you get your podcasts. If you'd like to read my newsletter, sign up for Ninth in Congress at www.texaspolicy.com, Ninth in Congress.